Start 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. On this election day, CBS News projects Joe Biden wins the Democratic presidential primary in Ohio, sweeping the state's 127 Democratic delegates. And CBS News projects Donald Trump wins the Republican presidential primary in Ohio, sweeping the state's 79 GOP delegates. Arizona voters have turned out despite President Biden and former President Donald Trump being the presumptive nominees. Nicholas Pella in Phoenix says he has voted for Trump.
Based on the polls I've seen, he has a good shot to put us back where we should be in the conservative column.
This voter says he chose Biden.
He's the only candidate that offers us freedom, democracy.
Voting is still underway in parts of Kansas and Arizona. A special election to fill Kevin McCarthy's House seat is taking place in California. The U.S. Supreme Court lifts a stay on Texas Senate Bill 4 as the case goes back to an appeals court to decide whether it's constitutional. The law allows local and state authorities to arrest, detain, and deport people they suspect of having entered the U.S. illegally. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Multiple law enforcement officials tell CBS News they're already short-staffed and don't have the training from the state on how to enforce the law.
It's not like, oh, he looks illegal and we're going to put him in jail. We can't do that.
And that potential for racial profiling across Texas is what concerns migrant activists like Dylan Corbett.
It's not just against recently arriving migrants, migrants who are coming to the border today, but this really goes after Texans throughout the state.
And four other former law enforcement officers will be sentenced later this week in a case that has already had two former Mississippi sheriff's deputies being sentenced for their part in torturing two black men after a neighbor complained that the men were staying in a home with a white woman. Hunter Elwood has received about 20 years in prison, and Jeffrey Middleton has gotten more than 17 years. Lawyer Trent Walker represents the two victims.
Today, I feel a bit vindicated.
Due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the International Olympic Committee decides that Russians and Belarusians will not take part in the parade of athletes at the July opening ceremony of the Paris 2024 Olympics. And just in, CBS News projects that Donald Trump wins the Republican presidential primary in Florida, sweeping the state's 125 GOP delegates. Researchers in the UK are warning that noticing how someone swallows food could be an early tip-off to dementia. CBS's Matt Piper.
Dysphagia, or difficulty swallowing, could be an early sign. Doctors say those living with dementia may experience muscle weakness, coordination problems, and reduced throat sensation, leading to issues when swallowing. Symptoms of dysphagia: obsessive chewing and feeling the need to hold on to food in the mouth while eating.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had some harsh words for the organizers of the attempt to kick him out of office. He spoke about the recall effort at a WisPolitics luncheon Tuesday.
He called these organizers whack jobs.
Yep.
Morons. Who else do you think are whack jobs and morons?
It's a pretty small number, but the people who did this, whack jobs and morons.
While the petitioners failed to get enough signatures to trigger a recall election under Voss's current maps, they may have enough under his new maps. The state Supreme Court is deciding which maps they need to use and are asking for arguments from all sides to be filed by Thursday. Marquette University plans to cut $31 million from its budget over the next 7 years. That's about 7% of its operating budget. Campus officials blame a drop in traditional student enrollment and the growing need for financial aid. They say program offerings, organizational structures, and campus facilities are all on the table. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Churio gets the job.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Journal Sentinel says Jackson Churio is expected to start in center field when the Brewers open the season in New York against the Mets next week Thursday. The 20-year-old signed an 8-year deal worth $82 million. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, center field, we've got some great options. Churio
as talented as anybody in that position.
Trio would become the third youngest center fielder ever to start on opening day in the majors in 124 years. NFL, Yash Nyman, no longer a Packer. The 6'7" offensive lineman lost his job at left tackle when Packers coordinator Adam Stenovich had this to say last September.
Yeah, right now he's a backup tackle for us. Football's a very competitive sport, and some guys rise to that competition and some guys don't.
Nyman has signed a two-year deal with Carolina. College basketball, March Madness begins tonight with four games. Over 50 million Americans expected to fill out a bracket. The odds of getting them all right, 1 in 9 quintillion. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, lows in the upper teens. And a sunny forecast for tomorrow, cooler, high temps in the mid-30s and a little breezy. Then increasing clouds for Thursday, snow developing for Thursday night, wrapping up early Friday with accumulations. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Hey everybody, Todd Allbaugh, noon to 2 on Wednesday. Pat Kreitlow, Trey V. Olson join me to talk about a three-way blender in our ride into spring.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Thanks for hanging with me on this Tuesday night. We're in hour number two here from downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing from our beautiful WGBW studios, broadcasting live statewide throughout this great state of Wisconsin. Coming up at 8:35, comedy writer and former stand-up comedian Roger Rittenhouse. Very excited to talk to Roger on this day in which we celebrate laughter. It's National Let's Laugh Day. What makes you laugh the most? That's tonight's question. You can let us know at 855-752-4842. We will be reading your texts again shortly. But first, we are going to get to some sports here. There was some good news over the weekend regarding two college programs here in Wisconsin. Of course, I'm talking about the Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles. It is the Golden Eagles, right, Conrad?
Yeah, it's the Golden Eagles.
I know they switched it up on me a few years ago, and that shows you how up-to-date I am on the Marquette Golden Eagles. But Mike Clemens is here to discuss all things sports. Mike, how are you?
Pretty good, Pete. How are you?
I'm better now that you're here, buddy, because you have all the answers to our questions.
Well, hey, let's talk about the Marquette name, because it's funny you mentioned that. It was about this time in 2005, and I was working for the sports station in Milwaukee, and we were just kind of starting things up. And Marquette, you know, they got to an off season from their basketball program and decided – I think they had a new coach coming in. Maybe it was Tom Crean that was coming in.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, we need to retire the name Warriors. You know, we need to be sensitive to Native Americans. And so they, you know, people were suggesting different names, and they had some pretty good names. And they had this big press conference. And I was there to cover it. And there was the president of the school and the other dignitaries, and they dropped this veil. And the new name was the Marquette Gold.
Oh.
Like what?
And it was
some stupid, you know, detailed, going nowhere, driving off the road stories to what the connection was to that and the Jesuits and Marquette. And it was just, I mean, within 2 weeks, people were still laughing at that dumb name. That to save face, they said, well, okay, well, we can put a birdie in there, like an eagle or something. Yeah, eagles are important in Wisconsin. Like Golden Eagles. How about the Golden Eagles? And that's how they came up with that name. But I never forget. They pulled the veil off, and people look at me like, is this a joke? Are they kidding? The Gold?
Yeah,
what is that?
Is it possible? I didn't live in Wisconsin at the time, but can you keep the name Warriors somehow without having – it, you know, be connected to Native Americans in some way or make it less offensive to them? And I mean, warrior, the word itself does exist separate of that, correct? Or was it just too close and they just didn't want any kind of connection?
I don't remember that. I know Golden State still calls their professional team Warriors.
That's right, the Warriors.
That might have some sort of a, you know, different background to it. I don't know if that's necessarily attracted to Native Americans, but you know, whatever.
You could do worse than Golden Eagles, I guess. You know.
Oh sure.
It's not. It's just not Badgers. Badgers is a cool name. Wolverines, like, that's a cool name. You know, Wildcats been done to death, but
right.
So. Okay, so Mike, what did you think? Like, people kind of wrote the Badgers off. I know I kind of did. I don't think they got a win, or if they did, maybe they had won in February or something like that. And then they come and they make this great run in the tournament. What on earth happened? What do you attribute that to?
I don't really know, except maybe facing some of these teams a second or third time in the Big Ten tournament. Certainly some rest helped them.
Yeah.
Because Greg Gard was saying, you know, we got to get our guys backed up. We're kind of banged up. And so that wasn't a throwaway. It actually was something that, you know, he had some injured players, some guys that were playing hurt. But, man, did they pull it together. And yeah. I will tell you, for me, the team really seemed to grow. And just in talking to these guys, they're a smart bunch of kids. I don't know how many of this year's Badgers basketball players have much of a chance of finding a spot in the NBA after they're done at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But they're a good, tough Big Ten team. They play tough. They're physical. They're smart. All of them are very smart, articulate guys. Who knows? There might be some future head coaches on that team.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. Like this Max Kleisman guy. I mean, this guy's tough, and he's smart, and he's as smart as guard in terms of figuring out when you ask him what happened on certain plays or what kind of defense that they were facing, you know, you'd like to see him go to the chalkboard and draw it up. Really smart guy. And yet now, you know, you get through those first three games, and now you're up against a tough team from Illinois that had some pretty good fast breaks. The Shannon kid was really tough. He's physical, fast, and, you know, he scored on a couple of transition plays. And then, you know, there were some questionable calls against Wisconsin. Tyler Wall fouling out again. They had three guys foul out on Saturday. Did you see the video that kind of went viral with Greg Gard after they won to get into the final after Saturday's game? Where then he said to one of the, like, you know, the assistants said, okay, you know, hit my music. And the guy played Jump Around. And then Greg Gard started doing the Jump Around in the locker room as a, you know, victory celebration going into Sunday's game. So even Greg Gard, you know, who can be kind of a stiff most of the time, you know, he showed the heart that the guy's got. So they're right where he wants them in terms of him being a smart X's and O's kind of guy and just enough, you know, to come out of his shell to, you know, to be that guy that can inspire and motivate. And then these kids, they're all smart and they're playing for each other. And I thought, here's the other thing I thought was really, really impressive is that Chucky Hepburn is a talented shooter. He dealt with some injuries earlier in the season, but, you know, a fast break guy, he'll make some steals, some key takeaways in the game. But he said, you know, he said the one guy of all the guys on this team, this guy broke through. He says after a year and a half of working with this kid, something went off during that losing streak in January or February where he got vocal and he got passionate. And that's what you need. The coach can only say so much
right
before it starts falling on deaf ears. When you get players working against each other, and so Chucky becomes this vocal leader, then shows it on the court, and that might have been what kind of flipped the switch right there in terms of these guys saying, we have to find another gear.
That is the voice of Mike Clemens. We're talking NCAA tournament, Badgers, Marquette. Do you think the fifth seed, Mike, that's pretty fair, would you say?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing, Pete, that after the announcement came out Sunday night, Greg Gard was nice enough to come out and talk to us, you know, there in the Target Center as they were wrapping up the Big Ten tournament. And he said, well, first of all, I'm relieved that we're going to be playing Friday. He said, I've had this beef with the NCAAs in years past. If you're playing on Sunday in your tournament final, you can't be playing on Thursday. You know,
yeah.
Which Illinois, the team that just won the tournament that just beat them by 6 points, they got to play on Thursday.
Right.
And, you know, he's got Matt Kleisman, who had to leave the game. Actually, we learned during the course of that game, because sometimes the school only say, yeah, it's a lower body injury, like an old hockey thing. we actually learned from the network that he's been dealing with a groin injury. He tweaked it with about 14 minutes left to play in the second half against Illinois on Sunday. The Badgers were up by 10. Next thing you know, he finally gets back into the game after going to the locker room, getting on the exercise bike, getting some treatment, and getting back into the game.
Taping it up.
It was a tie game when he came back in there.
Yeah. Well, that goes a long way, too. I mean, you know, his teammates, I'm sure, love that, you know?
Right. And not to mention, in terms of, you know, stamina, these guys just played four games in a row.
Yeah.
So at least now they get a couple days of rest. They'll fly on Wednesday. They'll get to rest on Thursday. And then they play on Friday night at 8:40.
You know, it is a drag, though, Mike, that, and I hate when there's two teams. And this year, they're the only two teams I'm cheering for, would be Marquette and Wisconsin, in the same bracket. Why does that always seem to happen when people only want to cheer for two teams?
Probably because the networks think that gets the most ratings.
Yeah, but like Wisconsin people are pretty passionate sports fans, wouldn't you say? I mean, they travel well during bowl games. I don't understand that. Like, it's almost like kind of a slap in the face to me.
Well, you know, it's supposed to be, it's first and foremost, it's based on the win-loss, amount of points scored, you know, degree of difficulty from the conference you come from. All those kinds of things are considered as well.
Yeah, no, that's true. Some pretty cool news, too. UWGB women's team is going to the NCAA, an 11 seed. That's exciting.
All right. Okay, thanks.
You know what?
I'm chasing down NFL free agents, man.
I know.
I guess I saw that headline somewhere, but there's only so much time I've got in my day.
You know what? I'm going to blame that on Conrad, because Conrad said, hey, this is something you might want to ask Mike, too. And I know what your schedule's like. And I go, is he going to know about that? Yeah. And Conrad says, well, I hope
so. Put Conrad on. Let's talk to him about it.
Really?
No, but you got tickets?
Your response to that, I almost did the Uber.
Here's the women's team that I'm following is the UW, the Badgers. Women's hockey team.
Yeah,
they're looking for a repeat championship.
Yeah,
and they're in the Frozen Four. They're going to be up in New Hampshire this weekend, taking on Colgate, and that's the team that I'm kind of spotting. But you know, I'm you know,
if they make a run,
pop quiz.
Yeah, if they make a run, you'll be following them. But you reminded me of, I almost did a euchre there when you said, okay, almost said, that's why he's the best color man in the business, folks. Hey, have you seen Long Shot yet, Mike?
I did.
What did you think?
Well, you know, it's funny. Well, I guess this is spoiler alert. Your question tonight is, you know, who makes you laugh the most?
Mm-hmm.
It's Larry David.
That's a great answer.
I'm telling you, you know, should we talk a little bit about what the plot is?
Well, I've kind of teased it to people, but absolutely you can, sure.
All right. Here's a guy who's falsely accused. He's had a bad track record. He's running with a gang. But whatever. On a one beautiful, quiet night, he's out at Dodger Ballpark with his kids watching a Dodgers game, and he gets called the next day, and, you know, through a friend of a friend or a nearby rough neighborhood he's in, he's accused of shooting and killing a young girl who was a witness to a gang violence, a gang hit on somebody. And someone picked him in a lineup, old photos, and all of a sudden he's the prime suspect, and he's going up for murder one.
Let's pause it right there, Mike, and make this a two-parter. We'll come back real quick here with Mike Clemens. He's going to tell you how that ends next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, because nothing will be the same. Just another night, it's all that it takes to understand. Different between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk to you in the night, in your dream of love so true.
You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 Player Selection Draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back. We are we were in the middle of a great story with Mike Clemens, who's with us on the phone, talking about the film Long Shot. A young man went to a Dodgers game, found himself accused of a crime, and his alibi, Mike, is that he was at the Dodgers game, but he doesn't have the ticket, correct?
Yeah, I couldn't find the ticket. And
right.
It was just so amazing is this. First of all, he's up against a prosecuting attorney in L.A. who's trying to fight all the street gang violence they've got, but she's never lost a case.
Right.
And he somehow gets a great attorney that says, okay, well, if you're at the game, wow, well, maybe there's footage of you there. So he's going through all the game footage, and I can't find anything. And just before he's about to give up, he sees that there's some sort of a film crew there, calls the ballpark and says, oh, yeah. Yeah, Curb Your Enthusiasm was out here shooting that night. Like, what? So he contacts Larry David and his crew from Curb Your Enthusiasm from HBO. They go through 8 different cassettes that they had of raw footage, and at the very last cassette, toward the end, they've got a shot down the aisle, and all of a sudden, at the last moment, here comes the suspect, the dad with his 2 kids, walking down the aisle. I mean, it almost made me tear up.
That's
how close this guy was to going to prison for life.
And it was just one of those stories. It's like, it literally was a miracle. Because you're right. It was like at the last tape. And I love when they had Larry David address the camera for the documentary. And he kind of had that smirk. He's like, yeah, I'll help him out.
It's a head-to-foot shot of Larry David coming up the aisle.
Yes.
And this guy with his 2 kids, and they're carrying the little dolls that, he said he bought them at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Everything he said in testimony, there it is on tape. But then, that's not over with. Then the prosecutor says, well, what time did the game get over with? Well, the murder was like at 11:45, so that still gave him like 40 minutes where he could have zipped from the stadium and gone to this girl's neighborhood street and gunned her down in the street. Like, come on.
He took his 2 kids in a drive-by. Yeah, right.
Right.
No, that was great. I'm glad you liked it, Mike, and thanks for watching. I've been waiting to discuss that with you because it's one of my – it's just such a feel-good story. It's so great.
Yeah.
Mike, thanks so much for your time tonight. This is great. We'll be hopefully talking to you throughout the tournament and a nice long run for the Golden Eagles or the Badgers. It'd be fun.
And the UW Green Bay women's team as well, right?
Yes. I will pre-screen all topics with you. You're the hardest working man in sports, and your time is much appreciated, my friend.
Thank you, boys.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Bye. That's Mike Clemens. Conrad, have you seen the Long Shot yet?
I have not.
You know what? We just gave away the ending, but it's still great.
I did not expect to hear that Larry David was in it.
I didn't know. A friend of mine just told me to watch it. He said, just trust me. And I did, because it's only 40 minutes long. And I was like, is that Larry David? Like, you're watching it. It's like almost too good to be true. It's such a great story. I highly recommend that film. And you can see it on Netflix, and it's like 40 minutes long. So, all right, we got to read some texts here. Our question, as I mentioned, tonight, in honor of National Let's Laugh Day, what makes you laugh the most? That is tonight's question. So We got some great text too. Now I got to scroll back. Oh man, I got a whole bunch of them here I got to read. What makes me laugh? This is from the 818. This is Bridget, who hasn't texted in a while. What makes me laugh? My husband. He is the best storyteller, my kids, and TikTok. Okay, you better enjoy that TikTok while you can. I don't know if it's going to be around for much longer if the news has anything to say about it. From the 608, Carla from Baraboo, talking again about, oh, I love it. Grandma Krieger says, Grandpa Krieger always says, another fine mess you got yourself in. I love Moonlighting, a classic sitcom. Also, another funny movie by Bruce Willis, Blind Date. Oh, my God, I forgot about Blind Date, Carla. That's right. That might have been his first movie that he kind of branched off during while he was still on Moonlight. Totally forgot about Blind Date. I think Kim Basinger is the woman in that, too. She says the family still gets laughs about that one. Steve is back from the 920. He says, Pete, you hit it right on the head regarding telling a story or joke with the family. You know, in your heart and soul, you nailed the best joke or funny story in family history and find yourself the only one around the dinner table laughing. There are those moments too, Steve. They're not all winners. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes the absurdity or something that's so funny is when you tell a joke and get nothing. My comedian friends, when I used to do stand-up, that was our favorite moment when we watch our friends tank. When they're getting nothing. And it's just it's the same thing when you're sitting around the dinner table or at home when your family doesn't give you anything. From the 715, Joe says, my family makes me laugh the most. All right, Joe, the sacred moments of silliness, folks. I said it again. The Gigolo Ant song from Dumb and Dumber. The sacred moments of silliness are where I find my heaven. And that's kind of what a lot of these answers are sort of elaborating on as well. Paula, Conrad, your mom, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Ready for mom's text? It is funny when people respond to something you say with a completely straight face and have a very funny response. My niece Melissa has that funny gift. I agree. I love when you get nothing. My friend Mike Toomey and I were talking about this lately. He's he's a stand-up comedian, and he says his kids never laugh at him. And I find that so funny. I've met his kids a few times, and I think Mike's one of the funniest guys I know, and he gets nothing from his kids. That cracks me up. From the 920, Jim from Appleton says, I'm thinking about this question. I guess what's made me laugh the most is the things that go on backstage in community theater. That's a great answer, too. I've done like high school theater. I remember when you can't find a prop or, you know, one of the costumes, the zipper's open, something. Inside jokes are the best. You cannot beat inside jokes. From the 630, Andrew from Verona says, remember when they were the gold for a week? Oh, he's elaborating on what Mike was talking about with the Marquette gold. I think we should start calling them that from now. This year for the tournament, Conrad, we will refer to Marquette, to the men's basketball program, as the Marquette gold. I don't even think you need to take a memo. I think we just said it, and we'll just take it from there. Andrew also says, our theory when we were undergrads is that the gold was intentionally such a bad idea. Any mascot after that would be acceptable. Oh, that's interesting.
The golden Cougars, the Golden Tigers,
Golden Cougars. That sounds like, like a pickup bar. Come on into the Golden Cougar. Are you a Golden Bachelor? Come on into the Golden Cougar. These are just great answers. That's interesting though. Like they could have set the bar low. So they had nowhere to go but up. Even if they settled on Wildcats.
The Golden Wildcats.
Not even Golden, but yeah. Because after the gold, yeah. Oh, they should have started with bronze if they really wanted to lower the bar. We're the Marquette University Participation Awards. It only went up from there. And we tried bronze. They were like, how about silver? Getting better. All right. When we come back, a very good friend of mine will help us. He'll be here to help us celebrate what makes you laugh the most, or help us celebrate National Let's Laugh Day, because he's one of the people that makes me laugh the most. Roger Rittenhouse is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Find a brand of plastic prints. Find the lady with the fat diamond ring. Then you know I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But will I ever stop thinking about it? I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design.
Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Special Report. CBS News projects Donald Trump wins the Republican presidential primary in Florida. CBS News also projects Joe Biden will win the Democratic presidential primaries in Illinois and Ohio, and that Donald Trump will win the GOP primaries in Illinois and Ohio. Trump voted today in Palm Beach, Florida.
Did somebody just say, who'd you vote for? Yeah, I voted for Donald Trump.
President Biden has been stumping in Nevada.
Our administration is cracking down on big corporations who break antitrust laws by price fixing to keep the rents up.
CBS's Matt Piper with some exit polling.
As we've seen throughout the Republican primary contests, most Republican primary voters in Ohio think Donald Trump would be fit for the presidency even if he were convicted of a crime. 67% versus 29% saying no. About 3 in 4 primary voters are satisfied with Trump being their party's nominee. Looking ahead to the general election, 8 in 10 Ohio GOP primary voters say they'll definitely or probably vote for Trump.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former Milwaukee election official is defending herself after she used fake names to order military absentee ballots in 2022. Kimberly Zapata was on trial Tuesday. She said she was exposing gaps in the state's absentee voting system. Zapata was basing those assumptions on proven false conspiracy theories stemming from the 2020 presidential election. She could face up to 3.5 years in prison if convicted. A middle school in Waukesha received a number of bomb threats after being targeted by a right-wing social media account. The account Libs of TikTok slammed the school's assistant principal on X over comments he made about how much say parents should have over education policy. All the threats have been deemed illegitimate, with some coming from other countries. State Superintendent Jill Underlee stood by the school and said that attacks and threats against schools are reprehensible and cannot continue. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, lows in the upper teens. And a sunny forecast for tomorrow, cooler, high temps in the mid-30s and a little breezy. Then increasing clouds for Thursday, snow developing for Thursday night, wrapping up early Friday with accumulations. It's 42 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I'm like to a former
Drew
lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey.
This is
so
why
I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it, the moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlights. Fun show. We're celebrating. It is national. It's national, folks. National Let's Laugh Day. You can laugh regionally all you want. Tonight it's national. It's the real deal. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Jason checking in on the stream. Hello, how's it going? It's going well, Jason. Even better that you're listening. So thank you for checking in. Great to have you with us tonight. Tomorrow night on the show, Kevin Williams joins me. He is launching a network, and I'm kind of fascinated about that. I want to talk to him about that. He's also Denise Williams' son. She sang Let's Hear It for the Boy. Conrad, take a memo. We need to pull that song for tomorrow night.
Sounds good.
And then from Wisconsinology, Frank Anderson will be here tomorrow night. Always fun to talk to Frank. We'll talk John F. Kennedy connections to our state and many other things. But tonight, here to help me close out the show is a good friend of mine and the perfect guy to have on the show to celebrate laughter because he truly cracks me up, comedian and writer Roger Rittenhouse. Roger, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Pete? How you been?
I'm doing well. It's good to hear your voice.
Who's listening to this? Do I know him?
Okay.
It's good to, I haven't talked to you since you visited L.A.
I know. We met at El Compadre, Trevor, and Genzer and me. We all wrote – okay, just to give you – for the guy listening, I'll just give some background.
Yeah. I hope I know him because I think we really get along.
I think we were waiting on you or were we waiting on Trevor? But Roger and I – and a guy named Andrew Genzer, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, worked on a show called Sports Soup. We wrote jokes about sports and performed sketches. It was like The Soup, only sports related and less funny. But we were sitting there, and every time the door would open, I'd say, "Here he is." And they would turn, and it would be some old
lady. You know why it was less funny? Because I do nothing about sports.
I didn't know how I got the job.
Because I really didn't know anything about sports.
Hilarious. I love that you made jokes about that, though, like that you didn't know anything about. But that to me is a testament to your comedy writing ability and the respect you had as a comedian. Let's get Roger in here. He doesn't know anything about sports. I don't care.
Yeah. Is that basketball? Is that soccer? You know, the people that like soccer were the most annoying because really, that's just not a sport. I mean, it's just not interesting.
I have to tell you, Raj, I wrote one other time where there was a staff, but that was one of the most fun gigs I've had in my adult life.
It really was. You know what?
Yeah.
It's the only job. Actually, I've had a couple jobs. I can't remember the other one, but that was the longest run job we had, and yeah. I really enjoyed that.
It was so much fun. And that was
This is the second one, Nightlight with Pete. I can't tell you.
Been a little slow, huh? No, I remember you and I wrote. Okay, so a great way to make money in L.A. if you can get in is to get these.
OnlyFans, you know that.
Listen, I've got almost 30 followers, Roger, and
I'm just getting out of my beaver costume. This actually was well timed tonight.
You'll appreciate this. My daughter said to me about a year ago, she said, "Dad, you need a bigger presence on social media." And I said, "What are you talking about? I have almost 100 followers on my OnlyFans page." And her look went from, she started to laugh, then she stopped, and I just stared at her, and she stopped, and then she looked at panic. It was like, my God, it was the greatest moment of my life because she prides herself on being subtle. But, oh, it's beautiful. What a horrible thought, though. I don't even know what we were talking about.
I'm sorry. I keep interrupting. We were talking about sports.
Sports soup. So I And that was a joke for the longest time. When are we coming back? Like, because we had so much fun there. It was great. So, all right, let's talk. I want to talk, because I'm fascinated. You're just a great joke writer. And not really good at anything else, but no.
I have no proof. I will have no proof of that tonight. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I do for a living. I just kind of write jokes. But
And I'm fascinated by that, because you write for Larry the Cable Guy. You've written for D.L. Hewley. Is that difficult?
Yeah, I'm actually working with D.L. right now.
Is he?
I'm very versatile. I can write for rednecks and black people. And, you know, for a call from Sean Hannity. That's a joke. I'm not.
Is that difficult to write for people in different? You also write for roasts, and I don't know how you do that, how you write jokes. Is it difficult for writing for different people?
No, not really. The roasts are the easiest. You know, those are all kind of formulaic.
Are they? Okay.
You know, that's kind of stereotypes. And actually, that's the most fun thing to write. But yeah. No, I mean, I don't really. I mean, when I write for DL, it's a little, it's not strange at all, but you know, I kind of don't really, I mean, I've been writing for him so long that I kind of feel like I'm an honorable brother.
Okay.
If you want to call, you know, if it's like, is that what they said in the '70s? But yeah, it's not really hard. I mean, he takes my writing and then, you know, makes it his own.
Yeah.
So it's not, he doesn't sound like a cracker. It's just written like that.
He takes a cracker joke, African Americans it up, and there you go.
Well, when I spell the N-word, I use two G's and end it with an A, and it's not racist.
Does he, you're one of the few people, Raj, at least it's in the business. I have a friend like this in real life, too, who can say stuff to people that's kind of offensive, yet somehow they know he's kidding. And I've seen you do that. Like, I love your Facebook post when, like, someone will post something that they're excited about. Hey, I'm putting up a show this weekend. And you'll say something like, you know, I don't know, like, thanks for letting me not, I don't know. What.
Well, yeah, you know what? This thing about Facebook, some people just, like, need to, like, post. Like,
yeah.
Jackie Flynn, a good friend of ours, loves Jackie. He's like, yeah, I want to wish my daughter a happy 18th birthday. And I'm like, yeah, why don't you call her? Right. Why am I reading this?
Yeah, right. But you say that, and it's like, and I think the one in particular I'm thinking of, I found it, is when I posted something, and you said, I can't wait to not see that. But it's like, and I love that too. Like, people will say, happy birthday to my daughter, the cutest little angel I've ever. She's three. She's not even on Facebook, I hope. And I don't get that either. I'm like, what, you know, what are you doing here? You know?
So. Well, I think people know that they know my sense of humor. So it's easy to do that. I don't say that to strangers.
Right.
You know, but if someone posts a new baby picture and I know them, I'll just say, oh, isn't that, she's just adorable. It'd be a shame if something happened to her. I mean, that's just not the right thing. You would never say that to a stranger who showed you their baby. But
no.
It's just, I don't know. It's just my sense of humor. But yeah, it's.
So the first time you did it, you probably got a poke in the chops, I would imagine. Somebody took a swing at you. But then they're like, oh, no, it's Roger. It's okay.
Yeah, no. I have done that with two strangers with other friends in the room, and there is a little bit of a silence, but then they kind of like, oh, he's kidding.
Oh, there's nothing better than that awkward silence. So do you still write for Larry?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, he's kind of really shut down his performing pretty much.
Yeah,
I think he does
is.
Like mostly casino dates throughout the year, but yeah, you know.
Okay. You know, did we talk about him at Sports Soup? I knew him as Dan Whitney, and you'll appreciate this. He was great to me. Like, we hit it off right away. He got me so much work with a phone call. Like, and people liked him so much, Raj. He was still middling.
I'll be honest with you. He's literally one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's just the down-to-earth to this day, you know?
Yeah, he really is. And he would call and say, hey, you got to book this guy. He's great. And they would book me without a tape or anything and regret it later. But, You know, he just no, but he's that jovial and likable that people would do that. And we, I was at Zany's in Pheasant Run outside Chicago. He and I, he was staying at our apartment, and I would drive out there every night. We would drive out. He comes up, he shows up with his construction helmet. And back then he was called the Freight Train of Comedy. And he said, hey, I'm trying to do this new character. Let me know what you think. And he put the hat on at the end of his act, and he go, hey, you order cable? And, you know, maybe it got like a snicker at the best, at the most. And he get off the stage and go, what'd you think? And my reaction was like, yeah, it's okay. But whatever. Okay, a year later, he's selling out arenas as Larry the Cable Guy.
I can't believe, you know what? I was the same way. I was like, I just, you know, I couldn't believe that was just a joke in the act. And
yeah.
then he made a whole hour of it. And it was funny. That first hour that he came out was absolutely, it was funny.
And Larry the Cable Guy or the Freight Train was gone. Like he was not, and he was really fun. Like I thought he was a really fun stand-up to watch. But yeah, you can't, I mean, when you have a gimmick like that makes you millions of dollars, I guess you have to do it, you know.
But I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the get her done. I mean, just the catchphrases, they were just like gigantic.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I heard get her done on like UPS kind of stole it, you know, a lot of these companies kind of like had their own, you know, well, Just Do It was already there, but you know what I'm saying?
Other
people.
That's good stuff. My guest is comedian and writer Roger Rittenhouse is helping us close the show down tonight on Nightlight. So who else have you written for, Raj?
Close the show down tonight or the whole show? you know what? I was writing for Ron White in 2019. And he's great.
Yeah.
Also. Basically, I just work for the rednecks.
You work for the rednecks and DL.
I mean, the first writing job I got was on Bill Maher's show. Politically Incorrect, you know. But and that was fun. That was all right. I kind of found it difficult living in New York.
Okay.
For $580 a week.
That's what he paid?
That's what Comedy Central paid.
Oh my god.
That was after taxes, but still, you couldn't really. I was staying at a friend's, they had a studio, and I was like, it was so cramped. I was just kind of felt bad staying there, but they said it was fine. But yeah, you know, it was tough, but
yeah,
the actual show was fun. I really enjoyed, you know, he would have like, he'd be having these political discussions, and there'd be like Susan Powder with her cleavage showing, and Timothy Leary sitting next to her just staring at her breasts. You know, they're talking about, you know, we're talking about politics. It was just kind of like, it was pretty funny.
That's great. All right. I have another story that I'm sure you don't remember this. You and I were working for the WB. I had just moved to LA and Paul Gilmartin.
That's a great gig. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And he got me in at WB, and it was freelance writing. I think at the time it was like $400 a day, and you go out to a trailer.
Which would be good today.
Yeah, absolutely. they had no idea they didn't have to pay us that much, but that's okay. And we would go out to a trailer and just sit there. And I'm like, it's my first real gig in LA. I just moved there, and you and Paul were there goofing off, talking about where you wanted to go to lunch starting at like 8:30 in the morning. And I'm like, God, these guys aren't taking this seriously. Well, I relaxed. I put a sign on Paul's car, and I put it on his windshield, and I said, a-hole, don't park here anymore. And Paul came in, and he's like, and I signed it crew. And he goes, guys, check this out. And I put your car will be towed. And he reads it to us, and you said, maybe he means towed. And you like lifted your foot like you were towing his car. Like you were using your toe, like maybe that's what he meant. I laughed uncontrollably. It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Hey, Roger Rittenhouse is here. We've got more with him coming up next. We're going to get into more of this roast stuff because I love the roast and I love that you wrote for them, Raj. So we'll talk about that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
But You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
I've never been a big gourmet food guy. Like, I really think that the way you grow up and your palate, like, a lot of that you stick to. I wonder if it's the opposite, because I obviously don't know. If you grow up and you're eating gourmet food your whole life and everything, and you can't afford that anymore, I mean, do you adjust? Is there a Sam's Club generic version of, you know, escargot?
Of caviar, maybe? Yeah, caviar. I don't know, you know.
Yes, it's called food poisoning.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing thing where he turns his head. The Joker's masterful plan of going to the left. Serpentine! Quick penguin, serpentine!
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. only on Locally Grown Radio.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Shane, we are back. Got a few more minutes here with comedian writer Roger Rittenhouse on this day where it is national. Roger, what makes you laugh the most?
What makes me laugh the most?
Yeah.
I don't know. I find if I'm on, you know, I'm online a lot. So if I find myself laughing, it's usually, I don't know, like, you know, the hard times is kind of like the Onion, but for music.
Yeah.
That makes me laugh a lot of the times. I don't know.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, nothing like show-wise or, you know. I will say Nate Bargatze makes me laugh. But
yeah, he's funny. He's coming here in April, I think. He's a clean comic, Raj. Did you wear clean?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little bit, for the most part. I mean, maybe it was a little twisted premise-wise, but it wasn't cussing or anything.
Right. So what's it like when you write on these roasts for Comedy Central, you said it was kind of formulaic, but what's the atmosphere like?
Well, you know,
like?
Roasts are kind of like, yeah, it's good to see. You know, they're just, yeah. I mean, if you watch a lot of roasts, you know, they're a little bit formulaic.
Have you worked on a roast with Mike Rowe?
Yeah.
He was a dad at my kid's school there in L.A., and his son Nick, he has twins, Nick and Jack, are friends with my son, Joe, and they reconnected like 3 years ago. Nick and Joe reconnected like 3 years ago, and they've written online together. I think that's so funny, especially
that's great.
During COVID.
Yeah, we worked on the Hasselhoff roast.
Oh, that must have been a fun one. What's that writer's room like? Are you guys all in the same room?
God,
or is...
I tell you, it's so, I mean, the writer's room was great. So because you're basically all at a long table and, man, I forget the roast, but yeah, there were so many funny people.
Is it competitive, or are you ever intimidated?
You know, a little bit. I mean, it's not competitive, but yeah, there's people. I mean, you know, because everyone throws in the there's people know who wrote the best jokes.
Yeah.
What was her name? Whitney.
Whitney Brown. Hey, Whitney Brown.
She had her own special recently. But she was writing on one of the roasts. But she had some very funny jokes about, I think it was Flavor Flav or something. You you look the way Michael, you look the way Magic Johnson should look. Because he weighed like 60 pounds. Anyway, there was just so many good jokes to be thrown around at the table.
How long, do those pay well?
They pay pretty well.
Okay. Like a union gig.
Because, you know, it's writers' guilds. You kind of get, like the higher minimums.
Right.
At least, I think when the Shatner roast was the most fun. I was writing for Betty White, and it was hilarious. You know, and it's very surprising. The people that you think are just going to be like, oh my God, Snoop Dogg, this is going to be a train wreck. And then he's like just the most professional, nails it. You know, in rehearsal, just perfect comedy timing.
That's so cool. Yeah. Do you miss doing stand-up?
No, I don't.
At all?
Not really. I don't miss the travel and the, you know, the show. I don't really like the performing. I just kind of prefer the jokes, you know?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I've seen your act.
Do you still do
stand-up? No, I don't. You know what? I book a football fundraiser for my local, where I live. It's a once-a-year event, and I get to bring a friend up from Chicago or whatever, and I get to hang out with comedians for like one night. It's so much fun. And this year was fun because Tom Clark, you know Tom?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tom came up and did it with his wife, who's also a comedian, Steph Clark. And then my friend Tim Cavanaugh in Chicago, he's Chicago-based. He came up and did another fundraiser at the Catholic school. Well, this town has like 12,000 people, and it was on the same date. So we all got to hang out together, which was fun. There's like four comics and me. And Tom Clark said, yeah, I looked at Tim's Facebook post and he said he's going to be in Marinette, Wisconsin on February 3rd. I'm like, did I get bumped? But it's always fun. I mean, hanging out with writers and comics, there's nothing more fun than that to me. So,
yeah, I mean, I do get a little tinge of wanting to do it when I visit Denver, which I haven't lately. But the Comedy Works in Denver, Colorado is probably the best club I've ever been in. And it's just one of those. You can't lose there, you know?
Yeah.
No one's ever died there or even done badly.
On stage,
well, that's
rough.
Not true, but you know.
Yeah. All right. So, Raj, one of the things we do on this show, we talk about movies and TV and what people are watching. Can you recommend anything? You binge watching anything or cringe watching anything?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Can I recommend it? I don't know. I watch so much stuff that, you know, if I get through the whole season, I'd say, yeah, you can watch that on The Tourist on Netflix. I kind of started watching that, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. It started out, you know, kind of, it dragged me through the whole season.
I did like three episodes of that, and I found the sheriff a little over the top with the comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you know,
dial that back a little.
So many things that can throw you off.
Yeah, but it's good. I didn't dislike it, you know.
You know, Warrior was great.
I watched the first two seasons. Have you seen the new season now?
Yeah.
Okay, is it good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, I'll have to go back to it because I did like the first two before the pre-COVID season.
I think it would have been better if they just would have went right into, you know, instead of canceled the show.
Yeah, for like 3 years.
Bring it back.
I know.
You know. I mean, I love the class. I mean, you've seen all the, I'd probably say the best show I've seen on Netflix, probably Dark. I don't know if you've seen
that. Oh, I have not seen that.
Time travel series.
No, but I've heard someone else talk about it too, so I'll have to check that
out.
Yeah,
it's really good. And then you gotta stay with that one. Just till the second episode.
Okay.
Because you don't really know what's a time travel until about the second, third episode. And then you're like, oh wow, then it really gets so involved.
That's so great.
You know, I think I had to watch it twice just to kind of piece it all together, but it was really good.
Cool. Hey, Raj, I can't thank you enough. It was great catching up. This is so much fun. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, Dean, great talking to you, and good luck with everything. And, you know, hope to see you in person one of these days.
I'll get out there one of these days. Yeah, we got to hang out, and let's catch up off the air sometime, too. That could be fun as well.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. All right, thanks,
hey,
Raj.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
What's that?
I appreciate you having me on.
Always. My pleasure. Take care, buddy.
All right.
All right, that's Roger Rittenhouse. I'd like to thank him. I'd like to thank Mike Clemens and Jesse March. And this was so much fun tonight, you guys. Thanks for the texts. We got to the bottom of some comedy questions here. The question was, what makes you laugh the most? Loved your answers. Always great when you guys participate. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wednesday on Up North News Radio, the clean energy jobs of the future are coming to rural America. Wisconsin is no exception.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.